All right, let's open our Bibles up to 2 Samuel, and we'll kind of begin in chapter 12. So go ahead and turn there. And this is part two of Bathsheba. And I do really encourage, go back, listen to these different studies. But I sure was thankful of what the Lord opened up for us in the mercy and the depth of that mercy in seeing more layers of grace and mercy in this precious study of Bathsheba. Now, what a joy to see the depth of grace. And the depth of grace in the love and mercy that is the pattern, that love and mercy is the pattern that plays out over and over that we find in Paul's gospel. Yes, amen. See, Paul rejoiced in that. Paul rejoiced that the Lord is everything, that he couldn't do anything without him, that we are completely his workmanship, that it's all by grace. As he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. About all those things that Paul was able to do, it wasn't I. He said, it was the grace of God that's with me. It was all because of that wondrous grace. And God chose that vessel, Paul, known also, and said, I'm the chief of sinner, to magnify the grace of God. And to magnify the grace of God, not just for salvation, but praise the Lord, salvation with eternal glory. The message of Jesus Christ and his bride came forth through Saul, at that time was his name. Isn't that something? God chose that chief of sinner. That's the guy. Because I'll tell you what, if he can get it, anybody can. Amen? So praise the Lord. And Paul rejoiced in that. His glorying was always the grace of God. His thankfulness was the mercy. He praised God as the cherubim did, as they would just be eyes affixed on the blood of the mercy seat. It all came from that. Any supplying that you could ever be to anybody is always going to come through the mercy of the Lord. See, that's where true compassion, true encouragement, to truly be spiritual. Let me tell you something. That mercy will take you down. Amen. Because it's down. It's the lowest of the low of what the Lord became for us. And this is what we see in the unveiling of this beauty in the story of Bathsheba and David. We saw last week, and this is a very known story, the king, David, seized her. He took her. But we saw that in that taking, there was a divine appointment. There was a divine appointment all the way through that story. There was a divine appointment that she was out that eventide cleansing herself. Once again, that cleansing, as we were encouraged, we could see the cleansing of the word of his grace that it does in our lives. And I'll tell you what, when we're cleansed with the word of his grace, it's amazing how we catch the king's eye. He can't take his eye off of you. We're going to really get back on this again because I know, man, we had a week of this great mercy. We've drifted off and wait a second. Wasn't this the story where he shouldn't have been looking at her? Are we going to see this in the natural manner? Are we going to see it in the eyes of God? We're going to talk about that in just a minute again and again and again and again. But how wonderful that against man's opinions, against man's principles, the king says, I must have her, and he takes her for his own. Now, as you know this story, and it will go on, there's going to be sufferings that come, and they're going to come unto her. Her husband Uriah is killed. She loses her child at birth. There is a great cost always to go to marry the king. It's a great cost to go to marry the king. And that's where Bathsheba went. She went to marry the king. Ridicule, shame, pain. You know it. Oh, yes. She shared that together with the king. We jointly suffer together with him if we're going to rule and reign jointly together with him. Amen? Take all of this that God will give us from this. They're suffering together. And David so suffered before God. We are going to find out how especially he did suffer with the loss of his son. But it was together with Bathsheba, as we will see. And that's the beautiful thing of the Lord. we suffer together with him. You're with your love. There's no other place to be. Amen? When you're really in love, would you rather just not to be with your love if it required suffering? Or would you gladly suffer together with your first love? You'll get in there. You know it. Matter of fact, your first love suffering attracts you to that person. You want to do anything and everything you can. You enter into that suffering with them. Even if it's their physical bodies that are hurt or diseased, you might be completely well, but it's amazing how you'll enter into that sickness with them. Amen. It's the truth. I've seen it. I saw it with my mom and daddy. Now, I pray that we receive the beauty of the testimony of David here as the type of Christ that we see throughout David's life that he was brought to show forth that would come in the life of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, what he took upon himself, what the Lord took upon himself for us, we know this. As we spoke last week, what David, in type of Christ, took upon himself to have Bathsheba. Now, don't look at David in the natural man condition. Look at him as the spiritual type of Jesus Christ for us. The reason I can say that is way before this story, we had the commandments, we have the ordinances. I know very well that adultery is a bad thing. I know very well that murder is right up there with it. All right? Now, this story has that in there, and I can even receive from that on the surface that, you know what? Those are things, but for the grace of God, there go I. But those are things that by the grace of God, he can keep me from. And I understand that. He can encourage me. But if you think that that's all that this story is, my heart goes out to you. There's far deeper layers of grace and mercy than the surface. This story is about love. This story is about divine purpose. This story is about no matter what it took, I am going to have her. And David is the type of what Jesus Christ became for us. He was made sin for us so he could have us. He was made sin for us so he could marry me. If David didn't take these actions, he would not have had her to wife. We'll address that in just a moment. I pray there's not one that's going to think this in here, but I sure have too, so I'll confess in just a minute. Now, Jesus Christ embraced sin for me to marry me. Do you realize that? You know that. Amen? It had to be that way. There was no other way. That was the plan of God. He was becoming all of the sin of the world was laid upon him. He was made the worm on the cross. It was all there. Every ugliness of anything you've ever despised of sin, he became and was made for us. Far uglier than what someone could even read about in thinking about the life of David. But he was made that for you and for me. Because even with Paul's gospel now, I realize not just to save me, but to marry me. To marry me. Praise God. Now, how much mercy do we really want to see? You know, by the grace of God, amen. I want to see it all. But sometimes, you know what, you want to say, well, I want to see all that mercy. Well, let me tell you something, though. If you bring a shred of your self-righteousness in to see mercy, you don't want to see it. It can be one of the ugliest things, horrific. Oh, my gosh. And I'm sure that could have been some that heard last Wednesday night's message. How much mercy do you want to see? I want to see it all. I want the Lord to pull it all back And Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, search me. Search me. I don't want to be found with one shred of my own self-righteousness. When I'm found of him, when he appears, I want to be only found in his righteousness, the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, how wonderful, brothers and sisters. But see, don't be one of those that looks at this story. Because I've heard them say this. Well, if he would have just waited for God, God would have given her to him. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Yes, we do need to wait on God. I am thankful. Let patience have her perfect work. Amen. And thank God that we can abide in him and waiting. But brothers and sisters, that's every story in the Word of God in that legal mind. Well, if he would have just waited for God, or if she would have just waited for God. I've heard it about Rebecca and Jacob. I've heard it in this story. I've heard it in all these stories. Well, you know what? That wasn't going to be God's way. That wasn't going to be what was going to be the written word of God. It wasn't that he intended them to sin, but he was intending them to magnify his grace. And that was it. How simple could that be? Amen? See, if everything about every... you really could do that about every situation in the Word of God. Well, if he would have waited and not struck that rock the second time. Okay, legal beagle. Just get on out there and, correct Paul. And let's keep correcting everybody. And you can. But don't. Man, I'll tell you, bend that knee. And say, Lord, I want to see all the mercy. Because that's when I know that my eyes are only on you. Right? That's the gold, as they say. Matter of fact, it's so golden, it's the beaten piece of gold on the mercy seat. Because that's the lid, the cover of the ark. There's that lid. But it's not just a lid. Look what's coming out of that lid are two cherubim that come right back around, and their eyes look back only on the mercy seat. Chilling up all over the place. There's nowhere else to look. If it's him, we want to see. So, you know what, brothers and sisters? This is God's way. What his son was made for us because he loves us. And by the grace of God, we need to wake up to that. Amen? And that is this quickening. And I'll tell you, the grace, the abounding, the double and double and double and double portions of grace. I believe we're beginning to swim out deep. Praise his name. Now, do you see how David loved this woman? We talked about it last week. He didn't just make her another one of his concubines. He brought her in and made her immediately his wife. He wanted her. She was pregnant. Think about this. She was with child. If he really didn't love her, wouldn't it have really been easier for him to just have her killed? Why did we have to go back and forth and think about Uriah? And why would he set his sights to kill one of his mighty men? Well, I can tell you what the answer is. He loved her. He just loved her. And I can tell you what the answer is about Jesus and you. Why he hadn't just had you killed. Because he loves you. Matter of fact, he adores you. And he wants to have fruit with you. Yeah. It's so clear, we have to completely reject it not to see it, don't we? Amen. It's right there, a cookie on the shelf. Praise God. Now, you still don't believe it was love? How about David's anguish, pleading with God for the life of that child? Remember when Nathan the prophet went to him and said, God's going to take that child. And David went in there, he prayed and fasted, and Lord, please spare this child. Why was it such a intent upon David's heart? Why did he want that child so bad that everybody said, that's a product of sin? I'll tell you why. Because it was with Bathsheba. And he loved her. And he wanted that baby with her. Praise God. But there's even more love here. Even after that, even in such sorrow, where you would think with all of that tragedy, what would those people do? They'd quit. They'd give up. You know, we weren't meant for one another. This is just too much. We need to go part and go our ways. Maybe somebody would even take their life. Who knows how distraught they would have been. We're in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. Let's see what happened in verse 24. After the Lord, he followed through. He took that child. And David says to him, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Never worry about those babies. They're present with the Lord. Boys know that, praise God. But here's what he said in verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Right when that was finished, when that baby was taken and that sorrow, David received it. His first move, I'm going to go be with my love. I'm going to go right in to comfort her. I'm going to go right in and be with the one that I love. He cared for Bathsheba. And he gave her more fruit here, as we see. Matter of fact, the heir to the throne, Solomon, came forth. When you go and fall into the arms of the husband, oh, the flood of grace that comes. Beauty for ashes. Amen. Every time, isn't that your life? It's mine. Praise the Lord. It's a story that runs over and over. The glory that shall be revealed, and here it comes. And think about the glories that just immediately began to roll. Is it the Lord loved Solomon? Everybody was saying, well, see, they got what they deserved. Baby's dead. Everybody's dead. Everybody knows what you guys did. Ha! Now the Lord gave him a baby, and it says the Lord loved that baby. And David's still the man after God's own heart. And that Bathsheba is going to be really the queen? Boy, I'll tell you what. Can you imagine those fiery coals on them legal beagles that were out there? Oh, how could that be? They deserve far worse than that. God's exalting them. You want grace? You want mercy? I do. Amen. Praise God. So, how wonderful this is, because his name Solomon means peace. The name Solomon means peace. But isn't that wonderful? He also received another name, Jedidiah. Beloved of Jehovah. So out of that mess, God divinely brought a double portion. Peace and the beloved of Jehovah. That's your life with the King every single time. And don't let anybody ever tell you any differently. That's you. You see? Praise the Lord. This is what we've been called to. Out of all this mess, the mess of man, how divinely it was ordered for grace. Now, going on with her life as we close this up tonight. This woman, Bathsheba, just like Rebecca would not have anything but for her fruit, Jacob, her son, was going to have that birthright. Amen? Didn't matter how it looked. Didn't matter what it took. We're going to go get that son. And she's telling him what to do at the age of 70 years old. You listen to my words and don't you veer from them. And that's the word of the Lord always for us. Amen? Never grow too old for it. You better be excited about it every breath of your life. Every breath. And never grow too wise in your own imaginations. But then you had Tamar. Remember Tamar? Well, we're just going to kind of, you kind of got in here luckily anyways. You just go sit on the sideline. She said, oh, no, I'm not. Nope, 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 nope. I have the right for my heir. Huh? And she went and got it. And I'm confident nobody liked it. I'll tell you, even Judah, whom she got it from, he didn't like it when he knew what she got. But then afterwards, he realized she was more righteous than he. If you don't know that story, she went and dressed up like a prostitute to sleep with her father-in-law to have the heir that would be in the very lineage of Jesus Christ. Do you see why if you're legal, you just can't get this? You just ain't going to go this way. Hmm? Amen. Amen. It's truth. I love it. Gets me excited. You don't just got a chance, you're highly favored. Praise God. I see that, I'll tell you what, I see those horse-winning eyes in your eyes. I love it. You want to finish and win. Praise God. Now, here it is. This woman would not sit still either. Bathsheba wouldn't. And we're going to see the evidence here in just a moment. She has that's the evidence of the virtuous woman. She goes after what has been promised. God said it, it's mine. I don't care what appears to be standing in the way. And a lot of times what appears to be standing in the way is me. I messed up. Or there was a circumstance or something happened that was a tragedy to everybody else. But that's the beauty to God. How much do you love me? Come on, how much do you believe in my love? That's really what it is. Do you really believe in my promises? Amen? Are you like, honestly, like sweet Moses? Going out there and saying, well, we're going to go down here. And he knew a sea was down there. There's no way out, but I'm going down there. God called us down there. How about Noah? They hadn't even seen rain. It never rained upon the earth. You know what, son? I want you to go out there and start building me an ark for every animal that I'm going to bring you to put in there. And by the way, I know you're out here in the midst of a desert, and it's never rained, but I want you to trust me, son. So go out there and build it for about 100 years and watch me. That's a type of what bridal faith takes too. Because we're here about 70 years maybe, 50 years, 80 years, who knows how many years. And you're watching him build this. It's ready to lift off, do you believe it? I'm getting ready to take off. The floods are coming. And the ark's going to take me out. Praise the Lord. It's all the same, isn't it? It's all the same. It's just a different facet of the diamond. But the story's always the same. If Paul's gospel is your love, you'll see it everywhere. Because it's everywhere. Don't lock in, well, this is just what this is. Oh, no. What's in here is the only thing that'll be forever. And that's why I have it too, because it's in me. This is the Word. This is Jesus. And He lives in us. Praise God. So you think this is ever going to be exhausted? I think by the grace of God, I've just been looking at a glass darkly. I got to have a body like unto his own glorious body to really, and I'll tell you what, I've seen some riches of his grace. Matter of fact, been drinking of it. But we're talking exceeding riches of his grace. Praise God. So, this woman, Bathsheba, she goes out and she's just like these others because she has that virtuous heart. I've got a full reward due because the king promised. He said it was true. I'm going to take it. And she went right into David and right into the throne. And she said, you promised Solomon would be king. So let's go ahead and read that here and turn over to 1 Kings chapter 1. Here we go. This last part comes fast. In verse 5 here, we're going to be introduced to a fellow named Adonijah. Adonijah was one of David's sons from another wife. And her name was Haggith. Haggith was also the mother of Absalom. This Adonijah was another one of those sons. It says here of him in this portion of scripture, he was a very goodly man. And he was of a good line. Let me tell you something. That Absalom was a strong one. So I'm sure there was some traits in this Adonijah that were passed over into him as well too. So let's read in verse 5. It says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Well, we know it's all downhill from there. You know, that ain't going far. Dismissed it by everything. Not that much, but everything. If we're not exalting God, it's not going nowhere except down. All right. Exalted himself, saying what? I will be king. And he prepared him a chariot and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So he really thought he had it going on. But you fly over there to verse 11 and let's see who, you know, here comes Nathan the prophet. The word of God had something to say about that. So in verse 11, it says, wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel. See, the word's going to give her counsel. The virtuous woman, the bride, is always going to take counsel from the word. That's the prophet Nathan. That thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Think of what we have. We have the word given by the Holy Ghost. That's real exciting. That's all truth. That's the power of his might. Hitch your camel, let's go. Go and get thee in unto King David. Isn't that beautiful? And that, see, that's where the word will always tell you. Go. And where to go? Go to the king. You know, don't go over here, don't go close, whatever. You get in there. Same like Esther, all of that. Amen? You go to the source. And go boldly. And say unto him, what? What he promised you, honey. Isn't that what the Holy Ghost encourages our heart as we talk and pray to our Lord? Do you know who does that, sheds that love abroad? I tell Jesus all the time, by the grace of God, you've given me the proposal. I tell him once in a while, I said, I'm sure you're telling the Father, oh, Father, come on, send me. You better have those conversations with him. They're beautiful. Now, so he said, say unto the king, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmen, saying, assuredly, Solomon the son, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. I love this. It's so wonderful. And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber. She didn't delay. She just got in there, didn't contemplate. Do you see the pattern over and over with these women? They move immediately. And they move in the word of God. And they move in the Holy Ghost. And they don't ask questions. and they don't care. They go. And the king was very old. And Abishag, the Shunammite, we're going to get to her next week, God willing, ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, "What wouldest thou?" And she said unto him, "My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God and to thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne." Now it goes on from there. David takes counsel, encouraged of the Lord. And then in verse 28, here's what happens. Then King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth and hath redeemed my soul out of all distress." See how he goes back and he's thinking about his beautiful life with the Lord. But you know a lot of that beautiful life. My beautiful life with you, Bathsheba. All that distress. "Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did her reverence to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." How wonderful. How beautiful. Do you see how the king is moved when we go unto him with the promises? And these weren't just promises. This was the promise of ruling and reigning. That's what you have. You have that promise. You have that calling. You have that life. You were born a little Lord of all. That same type follows all the way through with this. Go boldly to the throne of grace. We need to obtain mercy, don't we? All the time. Because everything's against us. We've got a bunch of Adonijahs out there. Joabs are everywhere. Absalom's abundant. Giants in the land. Philistines, Canaanites. Saul, the king, trying to take us down. But God. And it's impossible for him to lie. And he's given you Paul's gospel. He's given you Paul's gospel. He's given you the message. He's given you the proposal. He's proposed to you. It's impossible for him to lie. "I want to marry you." Amen. So, when the Esthers stand before him, all he can say is, "It's all yours." Do you believe that's what grace did for you and does to you? He can't deny it. He's ravished by it. He's like a little kid looking at it all the time through the lattice. "Oh, she's so beautiful. Oh, she's so beautiful." It's the truth. Read the Word of God. Read the Song of Solomon. Understand it. That is your life in grace before the bridegroom. Now, he didn't have to be reminded, but his first love only needed to be bold and ask, because she is the ravisher of his soul. As it said about the king and Esther, the love for her exceeded all the other women. "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." That's this one. This is this same bride. Because she's bold. She's bold in mercy. She's bold in the promises of love. She absolute, with full assurance of faith believing, she comes to him and takes this. "It's mine. It's mine. I have the crown. I don't need to go get the crown. I have it. It's been given. I come in rejoicing before my bridegroom. You love me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." He just wants to hear my voice. He wants to hear my voice telling him about his promises. He wants to hear my voice telling him about how much he loves me. I love to tell him I love him, but I sure love to tell him, oh, you love me. You desire me. He wants her to come in and request for him to tell her, it's all yours. The promise is that what is mine is yours. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have it all. Believe it. As the word of God has told us, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. The innumerable multitude could only sing salvation to our God because that's all they believed. That's all they believed. And it's a wonderful belief. And I believe it too. But I believe that that was just the very beginning. It was just the very beginning. Born of God is right where it all starts. But he didn't want us to remain a baby. Tells us all throughout the word of God, I want you on strong meat ASAP. And it hurts his heart when ones that have feasted on strong meat revert back to milk. He wants us to go on. The Holy Ghost, he says, which I gave unto you specifically. Why? To take all things. To take all the things of mine and show them that they are yours. Our place, brothers and sisters, is glorified together with him. Tells us that in Romans 8. We know that many other places in the word of God. Glorified together with him. I will tell you what it means. It means to be exalted with Christ to his same raised glory. It just blew my heart up. But for spouses out there, would you want to be exalted above your spouse? Or would you want to be exalted with your spouse? And I'll tell you what, this is the lover of your soul. This is pure of that. This is that. God help us to believe this. We'll close with the final proof of Bathsheba's place. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Here is her place. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her. Isn't that something? The king rose up to meet Bathsheba. And what did the king do? He bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Well, there she is. He bowed to her, and he sat her right down next to him. My reward is with me at my right hand. And to finish this, once again, of these Gentile brides, it never tells of Bathsheba's death. I guess she just went on forever, ruling and reigning jointly together with the king. Amen. Let's pray. Stand.